Psalm 150. This is not our text. I want to read one verse, and then we're going to move on from there. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Sing unto the Lord. That's what Revelation 5 says we're going to be doing in glory. We're going to sing a new song. A brand new song. By God's grace, that's what we're going to do in here this morning. When I was writing this, I thought this is a little different from normal. We're going to, with our hearts, sing a song the whole time. A song of praise the whole time. It's a glorious song. And all it does is sing praise it. Start to finish. Start to finish. It's called the Song of Moses. That's what it's called. My prayer is that it might be called the Song of Gabe. That's what I want it to be called. I pray it's your song too. Now, let's go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. This is when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of bondage. And they were being pursued by their adversary and his army, Pharaoh and his army. And they represent all of God's chosen people. God chose a people to bring out of bondage. And that's who they represent. And we have an adversary too. We have one that only wants one final end for us, just like this adversary wanted for them. Well, their adversary pursued them all the way up to the river of death. It's called the Red Sea. They went as far as they could go, and then they had to stop. They had nowhere else to go. They said, "We're hemmed in." Nowhere else to go. Moses couldn't do anything for them. They couldn't do anything for themselves. Death was before them. Death was behind them. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? A bad place to be. Now look at chapter 14, verse 10 says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Stand still, and you watch what the Lord does." Verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 26 says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. Not one escaped. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Now, can you imagine how happy they were? Can you imagine how happy they were? No hope but God. And it was real. And there's their enemy, never to come after them again. And when they saw that, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song unto the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 1. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That's the song I want us to sing in our hearts this morning. He hath triumphed gloriously. Gloriously. I want this heart to look straight to him. Straight to his triumph. They didn't sing, we let God save us. They sang, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Verse 2, they sang, the Lord is my strength and song. And he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. He is my strength. He's my rock. I have no other rock but him. He is my salvation. I don't have any other salvation but him. A doctrine is not my salvation. A decision is not my salvation. A denomination is not my salvation. He is. He is. This song is unto the Lord, unto my God, the one who dwells in here. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord God Almighty dwells in here. I'm so thankful that he has taken up residence, taken over the residence, conquered me. And he's the one I want to reign in here. I will prepare him a habitation. Lord, oh, come in here. Come in here and be with me. Verse 3, I have loved this since the first day I read it 20 years ago. The Lord is a man of war. Don't you love that? Don't you absolutely love? I love that story where he says that he had a sword strapped to his side. The Lord is a man of war. Don't you love knowing that Jesus Christ is not a wimpy God? Don't you love that? Don't you love knowing that Jesus Christ is nothing like religion portrays him to be? Oh, no, that's not him. The Lord is a man of war. The man of war. He's a man. A man of war. He is no soft king. He's not a soft king. Not only is he the king of the army, he's also the captain of the host. You know that? He is the first man into the battle. He's not behind the ranks giving the orders. He is the first man into the battle, and he is always the only man into the battle, because as soon as he steps foot into the battle, the warfare is accomplished. Is that not the truth? He has fought all our battles for us. They're over. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Man, I love our God. Our Lord is a man of war. He has an entire army. I've thought, and I've mentioned it to you, how I love thinking about his ranks, his infantry. I love thinking about that. A legion is 12,000 soldiers with a contingent of cavalry. And you imagine what 72,000 men lined up looks like. 12 legions on standby. But our Lord has an entire army with no battle. It's over. The Lord finished it. The Lord is a man of war. Verse 3 says, the Lord is his name. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, who's that? Jesus Christ. O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. We're singing this song to the Lord. Singing in the heart to the Lord. The Lord is glorious in power. Verse 7 says, and in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Do you know who rose up against him? I did. You did. We're the enemy of God by nature. This flesh is enmity against God. We were the children of wrath, even as others. We, by wicked hands, crucified the Lord of glory. But our sin was consumed in the greatness of his excellency. That's what happened. And he made his enemies his footstool. Come lie down right here. Verse 8 says, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Can you imagine that picture? Can you imagine that event? Those Israelites walking through there looking at two congealed walls full of fish and sharks and whales and everything else in the ocean. Thinking, I believe God did this. Only God could do this. Can you imagine? How could man cross that ocean? That ocean that stands between death and life. Life was on the other side. Death is on this side. It's an ocean of justice that is too far and it's too deep for any man to cross. What hope did man have facing that ocean? No hope at all. No hope at all. Men and women come up to the river of death with no hope at all. It's too far and it's too deep. You'll never make it. The justice, the laws, the requirements, the demands, they're too far and they're too deep. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. But God came. The Lord used a man. He said, Moses, you stretch out your hand. But the Lord told Moses to do this. God came. Jesus Christ came forth. The perfect man. The sinless man. And he took one step into that ocean and the waters parted. Satisfied. Well done. Welcome through. Every soul that's in Christ Jesus is welcome through in Him. That's the only hope a man has when he gets up to that river. That's the only way the waters are going to part is if I'm walking, is if Christ is doing all the walking and I'm just in Him. Jesus Christ is going to come through. God parted that water for them. God parted the water. Christ Himself did it for them. Verse 9 says, the enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. But verse 10 says, thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. You know, our Lord has told us, if we have a lack of faith, may He give us the ability to just stop and start believing Him. But this is what He said. This is what He said. He told David to write, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Will He really do that for us? Will He really protect us in that way? Well, let me ask you this. Would you do that for your own children? And if we, being evil, would do that, how much more the good and holy and kind and all-powerful and all-controlling and all-ordering God, how much more would He not part the waters? If I could, I'd part the waters for those two. Straight to Christ. Verse 11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? What a God is our God. I hope we can just take a minute and just selah for just a minute. What a God is our God. Aren't you so thankful this is our God? This is our God. We're singing to the true and living God. Look over at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Aren't you so glad we don't worship idols? Have no hands? Now, David right here is thanking and he's singing praises to God. 2 Samuel 7, verse 20 says, David says, and what can David say more unto thee? He's been thanking Him and praising Him. For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Just because of your own heart, you've done all these great things. Verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I've never heard of a God like this God. Never. 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 Look at, it's just a few pages over. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 22 says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath who keepest covenant. You keep your covenant. And mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. There is no God like thee. Is that your song this morning? Is that your song in your heart? Does your heart sing, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long? Go back to Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 12 says, thou stretched out thy right hand. Who's that? That's Christ. And the earth swallowed them. Thou stretched out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Verse 13 says, thou in thy mercy. Now, I'm going to read this slowly because this is a whole message. If you had to, you could just preach a whole message right here. Thou, who's this whole thing start with? Thou, in thy mercy, whose mercy is it? It's your mercy. Hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Us and the Egyptians? No. The ones you redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength. And that's Christ. Unto thy holy habitation. We are singing this morning unto his mercy. That's what we're singing to. We're singing to his mercy for redeeming us. Lord, you paid it all. And leading us forth all the way to his holy habitation. If I get across that ocean, the Lord Jesus led me all the way. Right? All the way my Savior leads me. This my song through endless ages. The Lord Jesus Christ led me all the way. He led me all the way. Verse 14 says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone. Now watch this. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Now, I have always loved this. Look at Exodus 11. Exodus 11, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Now look at verse 5. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. God is just. God is holy, and he will punish all sin. Verse 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more, but against any of the children of Israel. That's those that we're singing unto, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for redemption. Against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. I'm not going to allow a dog to bark at you, and I'm not going to allow a dog to bark at your dog, to prove to you, I have put a difference. I made a difference. This world is going to drown in the sea. God is going to punish this wickedness. But God sent away the way. He parted all of that law, and he parted all of those demands, and Christ walked through worthily. Who maketh me to differ? This heart sings, Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. Go back to Exodus 15. Verse 17 says, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. He's going to plant all of his redeemed in the place where he made for himself to dwell in. All right, now this is the last place we're going to turn. Go with me to Isaiah 61. I was going to read this to you, but it's just too good. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now watch this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. They're bringing ashes. That's all they have to give is ashes. And I'm going to take their ashes and I'm going to give them beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. Boy, those children, that night before, how sad were they? The following morning, joy comes in the morning. You know that? All night, God blew on that ocean, and those two walls stood up, and deliverance came. And when they got to the other side, it was morning. And they turned around, and then here they came floating onto the shore. I'm going to give them joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, we all carry around heaviness. You take that heaviness to the Lord. You really, truly give it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to just put it in your hands, and then I'm going to step away from it. You bring that heaviness to him, and you will walk away with joy. Praise. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm going to plant them like a tree, not a blade of grass, not a flower. I'm going to plant a tree, and they're not going to fall. They're not going to fall down. Back to our text, verse 18 says, Exodus 15, verse 18 says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Just dwell on that for a minute. If we're in Him, we're going to reign with Him forever and ever. Forever and ever. We think this life is so long, 70 years. Try to compare that to forever and ever. Did you ever have it bad? Yeah, we had it bad for about 1/1,000,000th of a second. And ever since that's been over, it's been nothing but amazing. Verse 19 says, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea." Dry land. Everything that ought to be miry clay to this sinner, and just drag me down and just swallow me up, the Lord has made it to be dry land. That's something to sing about, isn't it? That's a good song. I wrote, "What a song." This is our story. This is our song. Start to finish. May God cause us to praise the Lord Jesus Christ all the day long. All right, let's stand together.